I was having a fucking blast.
I had my concerns in the beginning.
But it took a turn I wasn't expecting.
I definitely did not like her, and I knew something was sketchy with her.
I had a different thought in my head as to what was going on, and it wasn't that. You knew from the beginning, it's fine.
I was like, no, this chick is sketchy. I don't like her vibe. I didn't like her from the fucking get-go. I did not think that was exactly where it was going.
I thought it was going a darker route and that she
Oh,
poisoned her.
this bitch is fucking sketchy as fuck. I don't
I
like her.
thought the aunt was in on it.
It's going down.
Everything happened. I was like, what is going on? What the fuck? I'm like, where are we going with this?
I thought that it might have been part of like the whole curse thing, and I thought it was going to go down that kind of route for a little while.
I'm glad it didn't go that way.
I also am
So
glad
glad.
that it did not go
So
that
glad.
way.
I would have thrown the book at that point. But come on, guys, no.
I also am glad that it did not go.
Let me live.
And my goodness, we're related.
Bomb drop. I really thought that it was gonna take a poisoning turn.
That would have been funny.
The poor man was just so
And I was like,
oblivious.
fuck.
He was just so oblivious, this poor man.
He's been locked away in his castle for 10 years with only furniture to talk to.
I honestly, that was a part I was like, I don't even know what the fuck happened. Welcome to Continuing March, but we decided to change it up a little bit and throw a little Regency in there.
We
There
decided
was some
nothing.
madness
The
involved.
wheel holds our fate in its hands.
Why it's called the Wheel of Fate, baby.
The wheel decides for us.
It does.
There was some madness in this book, so.
Yeah, there certainly was, because people are fucking dumbasses. We're all mad here, baby. Anyway, so today,
Yes, this
we read
week.
a lovely book.
Yes, this week we read The Cruel Duke by Sally Vixen.
And what a cover. It
Yeah,
is
it's
so
beautiful.
beautiful.
I'm pretty sure Crystal picked this book just for the cover.
I didn't, though. Like, I
No?
was, no.
Because I just figured you saw this cover and was like.
No. So it was like a tiny bit reason why, but when I was looking for books for the wheel, I was like, you know what? We need Regency in there. I don't think I brought Regency last time. I think you did. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? Let me just like locate a good Regency one. And I read the description. And I was like, you know what? This sounds like a up my alley, even though I'm not a Regency girly. I was like, this sounds great. And then the cover was like 10% it, but
We're
not
slowly
really.
making you an everything girly.
I know, right? Oh, side note before we get into this, because I was just thinking about when you said the everything thing. I want to make a video, but I gotta figure out like what section to use of the song and like what to do. Have you heard that song The Internet by Bo Burnham? You probably
I don't
have because
know.
it was on TikTok.
Probably. I
Can I
think
just
so.
do you anything all of the time? A little bit of everything. Use that. I want to use that sound for books. Can you hear that?
I got close to my mic like that was gonna help me.
Okay. I'm glad you
Dumbass.
couldn't. It was a siren because there was a thing going like that. There's a clip right there for you. Can you hear that?
Hello, are you in there?
Oh my. Anyways, so sorry. I didn't mean to like sidetrack us. So this week we read
Yes.
The Cruel Duke by
By
Bo Burnham.
Sally Vixen.
I know. You know what? The other part of reason why I picked this
Her
book,
name.
her name. Honestly, it's a great name. Love it. So good.
Awesome sauce.
So settle in, put your brain into Regency period,
Get
and like
some water to
soak in it.
hydrate.
Hydrate. If you need to eat, grab a snack. It's okay. We're
We're good with
self-caring.
snacking.
I'm snacking. I've got my lunch.
Got water.
What else is new? And I have tea in my beautiful mug. I had breakfast at about 10 because Spencer and I went to Starbucks. We slept in. Well, he got up early, brought the child to school, then came back, and he said he only meant to lay down for a minute and then like an hour and a half later. And then we went and
Great.
got coffee and food. And then I realized I was hungry because I was finishing the book while straightening my hair. My Kindle was reading to me on 1.5 speed. And he comes in, he
I
goes,
was concerned when you said you hadn't started it yet. I was like, oh no.
honestly, I flew through it though. Like, I wasn't concerned. And honestly, I would have finished it earlier if it wasn't reading to me, but I was straightening my hair. And he comes and he goes, I wasn't sure with whatever was playing. I was like, it's the book. It's reading to me, which is really funny because it was in the sex scene that it was reading it to me. What's funny is hearing the Alexa reading to you. I wasn't talking to you.
This title is intended for a mature audience. Title is intended for a mature audience, just in case you weren't aware. Thank you, Alexa, for that public announcement.
Oh, it's playing with knives because I forgot I have it on Audible. So what a time. No, so hearing it speak
Make
to me-
sure you listened to our episode, Playing with Knives. If you didn't, this is your cue.
So what's funny is it was reading me the part, but it doesn't do exclamations. So like when she's saying his name, but like in the throes of passion, it's so monotone. It's so funny.
Edwin.
Literally.
Edwin. Oh, my love. Edwin.
Yep. You nailed it.
They should just record me for Alexa. Just kidding.
I'm glad that I have my headphones on and this is not out loud because I don't want to keep hearing my fucking Kindle saying this
thing. Anyways, The Cruel Duke features Edwin and Joanna. And the book begins with Joanna and her mother in their little rose room. So it's like their little sitting room. And her mother's worried. She's heard a lot of gossip. And now she's reiterating that gossip to Joanna about their expected dinner guest for the evening. I guess this man has been seen talking to her father. So everybody who's anyone has been sending notes to the mother to warn her of him. Apparently, it has been said that he was born wrong, a cursed child who took his mother's life when he came into the world, and that the Duke's father died in a riding accident in which the Duke was the only witness, and only a year later, the eldest brother drowned in the river. And again, the Duke was the only witness, and he's hidden himself away for the last decade since.
This book, for most of it, gave me super Beauty and the Beast vibes for literally no reason. Did you also feel that way?
I have bits. I have bits.
I was here for it, though. Like,
yeah.
I felt like if this had been billed to me as a Beauty and the Beast retelling, I would be here for this kind of retelling. This would have been great.
I'm going to choose that it was almost
that's what
inspired retelling.
That's what we're going to say.
Yes.
This is the Smutty Book Club. This is the Smutty Book Club's favorite Beauty and the Beast retelling.
Thus far. That's not advertised as Beauty and the Beast retelling.
No, it's not. We're just saying it is.
But yes, so this Duke is coming for dinner. And the mother is very worried because, oh, this man is just a black cloud. And all this craziness has happened around him. And he's the center. And he's the beast that has locked himself in the castle for the last 10 years. And
you're wearing a very on-theme shirt for this.
Tale as old as time. Joanna's baby sister, Nancy, by baby, I mean she's 19, but in this day and age, she's a baby, just fresh on the circuit, ready to get herself a beau.
Why are except you talking in, like a Southern belle?
Except they're in England, so they are.
Please do not try to do an English accent. Let's not offend an entire English speaking accented human.
So yes, baby sister comes in, 19 years old. She is the rose of the family. She is all that is beauty and grace. She is Miss America, except she's from England.
She's an English rose.
Yes, she's beauty, she's grace. You know, the whole she's Miss.
I just enjoyed the rose theme going on that you're having here. It's very Beauty and the Beast themed.
Yeah, she is.
Sorry, guys. That's where we're at.
Joanna thinks that she is everything opposite to her. She's light and fair skinned, and Joanna is, she's got darker hair and she's
more
young
of a mouth
and beautiful. And Joanna is outspoken and already set and ready to be her spinster self at 24. Because 24, she is
20.
Too old, 4 and 20, because that's how they say it back then. But she is too old to get a man.
Which is very unfortunate because, Ariel, that means we're fucked.
I've come to accept that.
You don't want a man anyways.
Fabulous. So the sister comes in. So they hush right up because they cannot speak about this around her delicate ears. Then the father storms in and sees them all huddled together. And he says, gossip is the pastime of ladies who have nothing better to occupy their dull and tedious lives. I will not accept the ladies of my own family giving credence to any such gossip.
I shall judge the man
when I meet him, not before. And I certainly shall not heed the whisperings of bored women.
So I do agree with him on that point. That is the literal only point.
Joanna is frustrated because her father doesn't keep very good company. He goes out and gallivants and keeps women on the side and
treats her mother like shit.
Yeah, and doesn't keep good gentlemanly company. So she's not really feeling his judge of character. And she kind of gets ready to like say something to him. But the doors bust open and the Duke of Bruxton makes an appearance. Just busts into their house. Just, I'm here, bitches.
He's a duke. He can do what the fuck he wants.
I've arrived. And he makes it very clear that he is not there for dinner.
I just love the fact that he has no opinion.
Social skills.
He's got none of those. But like,
he's been locked away in his tower for 10 years.
It's a castle, not a tower.
He's been locked away in his castle for 10 years with only furniture to talk to.
This whole episode is just going to be Beauty and the Beast, isn't it? I'm glad, though, that we were on the same wavelength with it instead of just you. Or just me.
So, Joanna pipes up, which, how dare she, a young unmarried lady and a woman, speaking up without being spoken to this Duke, first of all. And she says, why did you accept an invitation to dinner then?
I mean, she's got a point.
She's saying what everyone else is thinking. She doesn't know how to keep the inside thoughts inside.
No.
And he says, I will dine if I have to, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to find a wife. I'm here to wed Lady Nancy. So Nancy always dreamed of the fairy tale. Nancy always wanted to be swept off her feet. She always wanted to fall in love. She always wanted to find Prince Charming. Nancy is Cinderella in this story. And she's off. Or she's actually, maybe she's Snow White talking to the birds and stuff. She's
probably Snow White.
Nancy is Snow White in this story. I was just thinking blonde hair. She's off talking to the woodland animals, having a dream. And Joanna can see that dream slipping away as her father is thinking and thinking after hearing the Duke's declaration. And while she watches everything crumble around her, she can't hold herself back. It just tumbles out of her mouth. Take me instead. Just like when her father was caged in the castle and she went there to rescue him. And she says, take me instead to the beast. That is what Joanna is doing here.
Belle, in case you did not understand from literally the first minute we started this episode.
She's like, if you are not seeking a love match, then you may marry me instead. I'm the eldest daughter. I understand the nature of this type of marriage. I'm better prepared for the demands of being a duchess. Moreover, I will do it willingly. You will hear no protest or weeping or wailing from me because Nancy's over here bawling in the corner. So the Duke looks over to the sniveling mess that is Nancy. And he's just like, oh, fuck. I got this sniveling mess. And then I got this outspoken girl that I don't want to be anywhere near because I want this meek and mild and moldable girl. And the sniveling just gets to him in the end. And he goes, Lady Joanna will suffice. And he says, I will return with a special license. I want to be married as soon as possible. And they're just like, so no dinner?
And then peace out, motherfucker. And then he leaves.
And he goes, no. And he leaves.
My favorite part about this whole situation is when Nancy is clearly like, fuck, like all the blood has drained from her face because duh. And Joanna steps in like Katniss and says, I volunteer as tribute instead. And that's all I got from that whole thing where she volunteers to do it herself.
And I was like, well, maybe he does fit in with March Madness, because then this Duke talks to himself for the next fucking chapter,
I justifying love him so much.
His choices, because now he was second guessing himself because he went into it wanting this meek and mild and moldable bride. And now he's walking away with this obviously outspoken, willful bride. And in convincing himself, he's like, choosing to blame Joanna's words on nerves, because he's like, oh, I've heard that young ladies act strangely when it comes to engagements, marriages. After we're married, she'll settle down, I'm sure. And he's like convincing himself, and he likes to talk to himself. He's been locked alone for 10 years. So he talks to himself. So I was like, maybe he does fit
in
with
also
March
talk
Madness.
To myself.
There's your March Madness.
I have a lot of conversations with myself. Sometimes I'm the only one who listens, so.
So Nancy is really worried for her sister and what she's done for her. And she's, you know, trying to talk to her and kind of talk her out of it. And she's like, just really worried for her. Meanwhile, her parents are fighting for the first time ever because her mother's finally standing up for herself and her daughters, because up until this moment, it's basically been very patriarchal. And the father doesn't do anything really specifically for his family. He does things what's going to be better for him. And
which is very of the era. Men suck.
True.
Men have not changed much over the years.
But also, he doesn't have to treat
his
wife that way. So she's finally standing up and is, I will not allow this. Like, this, you're not doing this. So Edwin returns 4 days later. He's very frustrated because he thought it would only take 1 day to get the special license, but it takes 4 days. So he's a little cranky. And he returns and he just kind of busts in again. And he goes, I have the special license. And the father's like, well, when do you want to do this? 2 days. I'll be back tomorrow to discuss details. And Joanna's kind of like, you're not going to stay for tea? There's no need. Say that a great deal. Like, politeness does not concern me, nor does tea.
He's so just matter of fact. But again, he has no social skills.
His beast is barking. He rushes out towards the door. And Joanna meets him at the door. And she says, I need to know you at least a little bit before we wed. He's like, no, you don't. And she goes, at least tell me your name. I should know the name of the person I'm going to marry. She says, in order to be somewhat of a decent companion to you, should I not know something of you and you of me? I cannot profess to understand why you were in such a hurry to wed, but I would prefer not to marry an utter stranger. I do not even know your name. It is not necessary. Just be adequate. That's all I require of you.
I just like the fact that he's like, nah, you don't get to know my name.
Your grace, I would not ordinarily defy a duke, although I have met too few to be certain, but I require some knowledge of you. Once we wed, I will live at your residence. I will be a wife to you, and my entire life will change overnight. I ought to know what manner of gentleman you are. I would be adult if I did not learn something. And I may be many things, but I am no dolt. He says, if you must learn one thing, learn to listen well. If I tell you something is not necessary, then it is not. She says, my name is Lady Joanna. Whom might you be? He says, I do not play games. You do not do a lot of things, but I will know your name at least.
This woman.
And do not reply the Duke of Bruxton. I know that. I meant your actual name. And he tells her it's Edwin. She's like, was that so freaking difficult, man?
She is so fucking sassy. I love this woman. I would marry this woman if that was allowed. It's really not, though.
And then he tells her, knowing me does not matter, as knowing you does not matter either. And she's like, I'm missing some part of this that you understand and I'm not privy to. What sort of marriage will this be? And he tells her, marriage in name only. After the wedding, you will reside in my manor, but not with me. We will stay out of each other's way. You may live your life however you please, but I only have one provision. No lies whatsoever. And there will be no physical relations between us of any kind. As I said, this will be a marriage in name only. Now excuse me. And he leaves. And then they have the saddest wedding in all of England, as she calls it.
I mean, it's a quick wedding.
The rain is coming down. It is gloomy and gray. There's nobody there. It's just sad. And she asks him, she's like, well, do you want to head back together? Like, do you want to meet up? Like, he's like, you will not be returning. We're going now.
Leave
straight from the church.
And she's like, excuse me, I have shit. First of all, I want to say goodbye to my family. Also, I have stuff at my house that I want to bring with me.
I need my stuff and I need my horse. Excuse me.
And he was like, sir,
you have horse?
Yeah, bitch. No one else can tame this motherfucker because he is a wild white stallion. He's a beautiful
named
horse.
Named Pegasus.
Oh my God, it's so great. He does not have wings though.
Upon hearing that, he says, you have 2 hours. So 2 hours later, there's a carriage
literally
packed.
Exactly 2 hours later. He is there at 2 hours on the dot to pick this woman up.
The carriage is packed and ready. Joanna insists on riding Pegasus to their destination.
Can do anything with that horse. That horse does not like anybody except for Joanna.
Right. It's many days of travel and it's long and exhausting. And during their travel, she learns the name of Edwin's horse, which is Bellerophon, which she thinks is some kind of cosmic fate because her horse's name is Pegasus and his is Bellerophon. And, you know, they were great buddies together and she thinks that means that their horses are going to be great buddies and that they, in turn, are going to have a great relationship.
Bellerophon and Pegasus is a great story. As you know, Bellerophon is also super arrogant and tries to ride Pegasus. And right. Then Pegasus is like, bitch, get off me. It's right. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, I don't know what you mean by great, but.
No, it's a great story. It's funny.
Yeah. And they finally arrive at their destination. She comes upon
this poor house,
like, such an unkept manor that so almost looks deserted and abandoned, much like in Beauty and the Beast when
honestly, as soon as they happened upon this house where the garden is unkept, like, she didn't even know getting to the fucking front door. Everything is just overgrown. It's a mess. And like, it is dusty. It literally, I was like, this is Beauty and the Beast. This is the castle.
Till as old as time. Coming into the house, she meets Mrs. Hyslop.
I fucking love this woman.
The housekeeper.
Ugh.
Mrs. Potts, but Mrs. Hyslop. She does not have a child, though. That's
in the stable. I was pronouncing a hislop in my mind. I don't know why.
So Mrs. Hyslop gets her all situated in her room and Edwin is all like, I will take a tray in my room at 7 o'clock or whatever time. And she's kind of left to her own devices and like, crap. And she goes to get all settled from her journey and kind of like rest so that she can be rested before dinner. And Mrs. Hyslop goes to Edwin and is all basically like, Your Grace,
we're not doing
you
this.
You must dine with her. Like, it gave me Lumiere and Cogsworth, mm-hmm. like needling. And
but she is much more, you're doing this. She's not really giving him a choice. I love
her. She's far from home. She's weary from days of riding. She's likely received no warmth or affection from you.
She's not wrong.
And she must be wondering why she came to this place when you seemed determined to abandon her. Indeed, I'm surprised you even succeeded in your plan.
I just love the woman so much.
And after the Beauty and the Beast dinner collision vibes, he agrees to one dinner. So dinner comes around and they kind of bicker a little bit over the table because she's trying to have a conversation with him and he gives nothing. And they end up coming to this deal that he's going to be taxed for saying that will not be necessary and add it to her pin money every time he does. And he just very well. She kind of like questions the closed off areas of the house because the house is kind of not doing well. But I mean, you could tell that they're trying to kind of repair things here and there, but some sections are completely closed off and she's kind of questioning it. You will not go to the West Wing.
And throughout the house too, the dangerous areas of where you shouldn't step are marked with like red. Like, avoid that.
Don't go to the East Wing either.
Similar vibes to the West Wing part. But it's just so funny because literally throughout the house with all the like
it's stuff tagged in down, red.
It's just tagged with red, which is really fucking funny. Like,
yeah,
that is the way that he is going to mark things. It's just red. Just don't go near that.
So they go to bed, you know, all good, until Edwin is woken up by screams. Oh, what's going on? Joanna is trapped in one of the old wings because she decided to explore for herself because she called his bluff. Oh, how's that bluff looking now, lady? Like, didn't you see the red on the door? No.
I was looking for water in the kitchen.
To be fair, though, I don't think I would be able to see the red on the door in the nighttime. Just saying. And she's also nosy. She wants to know why she can't.
She was nosy.
She's questioning it because she also didn't understand how bad everything was anyway. So it makes sense.
So then he spends the rest of his evening fixing the door so it will never lock again if somebody tries to go in there. So Joanna asks Mrs. Hyslop about a library. I mean, you guys must have a library. She misses a library. And Mrs. Hyslop is all like rubbing her hands together like, let me show you.
I love this woman.
And if that man gives you a lick of trouble, you send him to me. So guess what is not in disrepair? Oh, the fucking library that's basically an entire floor.
She says like it's as big as like the ballroom.
Like a ballroom. Like above. Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to be in it so bad.
And it's
bad.
So full. And all Joanna can think is this where all the money's gone?
Fair question.
She's enamored by this painting on the wall.
So much so that she does not hear the approach coming from behind her.
Of the sweet, nervous boy who, oh my goodness, it is so sweet when she starts talking about the painting and we find out that it's his and he's just all so literally sweet and nervous and he's all like, well, I could show you more sometime. And I just, oh. Like,
listen, this whole time, like, I wish I knew how old he was. I wish I knew how, me too. He can't be much older than her, I don't think.
I don't know.
That is the one thing we don't know. But, oh my God, this boy. There was so many moments that I did that exact, like, oh,
I know.
Throughout this book.
And they chat about art for a little while, and then they turn their conversation to talking about the renovations, and how, you know, she's going to get a say in things because, you know, I mean, obviously she's the Duchess, and kind of start talking when all of a sudden they're interrupted. Your Grace, I could not keep her at Rowley Manor. I did all I could, but she had me locked in the wine cellars. I barely managed to get ahead of them, but they're coming, Your Grace. Indeed, it will be my reckoning. They should be upon us at any moment. And Edwin looks at Joanna. Remain here. Do not leave this room. I will tell you when it's safe.
So dramatic too. I was thinking like, oh God, where is this going? Who the fuck is showing up?
I knew who the fuck it was.
Only because we hadn't seen her thus far. And he mentioned her at the beginning of the book and she was in the pew when they were being married. Yeah. But I didn't understand the dramatics. I knew who it was. I just didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
Dude, so funny.
Edwin's aunt has arrived.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's chewing him out for, like, having his manservant, like, hold her off and not let her come and meet her new niece and all this stuff. And, like, when Joanna starts coming down the stairs because she's like, what the fuck is going on? Aunt Peggy starts rushing toward her and she's, did you know he's been keeping me from you? I had thought he might be ashamed of you, but I fear it's me he's ashamed of. Terrible, really. But no matter. I'm here now to end your brief days of boredom.
She's so dramatic, and it's so fucking funny because she's like, he obviously is not ashamed of you. Look at you. You're gorgeous. She's like, you're beautiful. Like, it's so funny.
And she tells them that she's going to be staying with them for the next 2 weeks until the next ball, which is going to be their first appearance as a married couple.
My favorite part about this was he's like, you know about the ball? She goes, how do you think you got the invitation?
Joanna spends time getting to know her and like enjoying her. And Aunt Peggy comes with this odd young lady she introduces as her companion.
And so, okay, I at first thought, oh, she says companion, they're banging. They're not.
Except Peggy's kind of old. I almost thought it was going to be super inappropriate also. I also had that train for like a little bit, but she also was super sketch. I don't know. I got weird vibes from this lady. I don't know.
I don't know. I literally thought that they were going to be.
She was just so like lesbians together. Confident and like inserted herself into so many things that like it was weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. But at the time, I literally assumed. I just had weird vibes. I think it was just because she introduced her as her companion, which has a different meaning than it does what my brain thought. But I definitely thought they were lovers.
Yeah, no. It's just like it's a young girl that she took in to help and guide. No shenanigans, no weird business.
No sexy shenanigans. Definitely no shillelagh shenanigans. That's a different book.
While Joanna's talking about Peggy and getting to know her, she has this whole conversation about, you know, her marriage with Edwin. And she mentions how important like faithfulness is for her because of like her upbringing and whatnot. And how she is here for this marriage and she's here for this. And Peggy tells her like marriage is not a simple thing because she tells her how bad her marriage was at first, but it got better when they, you know, got to know each other and whatnot. And she tells Peggy about how important loyalty and fidelity are to her, and that once you make a choice that you should honor it. And that she intends to honor her marriage no matter what. And the Duke overhears this, which is not what he intended for her. So, of course, he's going to talk to himself a lot again and be the mad muttering Duke, because this is March Madness, don't you know? And they end up having a late chat in the library because of this. And she asks for his truth because now that she's gotten to know Mrs. Hyslop and gotten to know Aunt Peggy a little bit, both of them have hinted quite a bit about what a good man he is underneath things and that she should hear his story from him. So Joanna encourages Edwin to tell her his story and be honest with her because he did promise honesty in their relationship. So he tells her that he never knew his mother. That part is true. Like, she did die having him and all that. But as for his father, he actually killed him. Edwin killed him.
Father sucks. I hate this man.
Apparently, Edwin's brother was seeing this girl who was very beneath them. She was just a commoner. She had no social status whatsoever and was not fitting to become the Duchess. The brother had plans to elope with the girl, so the father decided to ruin her himself. And he had almost fulfilled the scheme when the brother found him in the study with her, and they fought. And the father almost beat the brother to death. And if Edwin hadn't happened upon them, he would have. And to save his brother, Edwin came up behind his father with a rope and strangled his father. And then it just says that his brother survived, but she did not. We don't know really what happened.
I'm pretty sure she killed herself.
It was mucky. And as for his brother, he grieved for almost a year and then he just couldn't take it anymore and then chose to end himself.
I think for me, the way that it was worded made me think that he followed it the way that she did. But in her dying He blamed himself, and then so he couldn't
Right.
live with it. And
So
they
we can
all,
assume that's probably what happened.
yeah. And then
That we can assume
so
she ended
a
herself, but
year
we don't know.
afterwards, the brother unalived
Right.
himself and
Yeah, the brother had
in the
guilt,
river.
yeah, for a year. And then, yeah, he drowned himself.
He drowned himself. What a horrible way to
Because
go.
there are so many currents in the river. Well, they know that the currents grab them
I
real quick,
know,
and it's
but
easy to
again,
drown in that
what
river.
a
Yeah.
horrible way to die.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God.
And he just kind of says, "Have I scared you away?" And she says, "Check with me at breakfast." And so the next morning at breakfast, the staff is in a buzz to see him at breakfast. They are
This man doesn't
shocked
do
because he
anything.
is
He
never
avoids everybody.
in the dining room. And Joanna asks Edwin over breakfast to show her the estate grounds because they're going to be renovating and whatnot, and she wants to know what's what. And they end up deciding, while they're doing that, to race their horses. It doesn't go well. It ends almost very dangerously when she almost goes over the edge into said river that he's very scared of. Edwin is so worried and frustrated, and he's like, "What were you thinking? Did you not hear me calling for you? Are you so reckless that you would ignore me? Your father said you were wayward, but I thought you had some sense. Do you not realize you strayed off course?" And that father word triggers her.
I
She's like, "What else did
mean,
my father discuss about me?" And she's like, "Is that perchance why you told me I'm free to do as I please, so that you could also? Did you exchange sordid tales of your exploits? Did you discuss the best ways to hoodwink your wives?" "I don't have what?"
Anne's confused
She's like, "You
because
don't have secret lovers in London?"
he's like,
He's
I don't
like,
have
"I don't
any.
have secret lovers anywhere, and not secret lover. I don't have any not secret lovers either."
I got nobody.
Absolute honesty, remember?
He's so funny.
They decide instead to go look at Edwin's art collection. And her spending time with him and seeing him in all this light and caring about her safety and whatnot, she vows to herself that she's going to make him smile within a week by the time they are at that ball. They go inside to go look at his collection, and Aunt Peggy, nosy Aunt Peggy, on the way, like, "What you doing? Like, we're going to look at art." "Oh, I'll come look. I didn't know you painted. I'll come look." "No, it's not very big. Like, goodbye." Like,
This man lied. That shit is so much artwork this man has.
she gets up there into the room where he stores all his paintings, and it's a whole fucking gallery worth of fucking paintings.
You know, the only thing I think of is like he's been there alone for a long time. So of course
That's
there's going to
true.
be a gallery. He just was underplaying it.
Yeah.
Oh, this man.
So they're looking through paintings, and it's really cute. And they have this tender moment with all the paintings that leads to an almost kiss.
So close
When
until fucking Peggy comes bursting into this room. So, this woman has no tact.
wants to see the paintings.
She just, yeah. Yep.
And he panics because they had that tender moment and he got too close for her. And we learn that the reason why he does not want to have any physical relations to her is he wants to sever his father's bloodline and he wants to make sure that he never has children. So they start renovations. And at the same time, Joanna is preparing for their first ball into society as a married couple. And Edwin finds Joanna planting in the garden. She's been there all day. She's super excited to get the gardens going so that they can be beautiful at the Beast Castle once again. And it's late. It's time to eat. It's 7 o'clock. Like, Peggy and Jane will be waiting for us. And she's all like, "Help me so it'll go faster."
You do know how to like do buttons, right? Fucking
So
woman.
actually, back then, they could not actually dress themselves very well because of the,
I
that's why
know.
they had, yeah.
I just think it's very funny because she said like there is nobody to help her, so
Right. It
she
will
needs
spare
the
me from
help.
having to summon a maid and from lengthening the time that your aunt will have to wait for dinner. I trust you can actually use buttons." So they get up there, and Joanna's all excited because There's a box on her bed. Her dress for the ball has arrived. She handpicked this dress to be perfect for their outing, and her father even paid for it. So she splurged. It was a whole thing. She was super excited for it to come. And she gets there and she's opens up the box, and this dress is in tatters. It is
It's a
ruined.
Gift from her father to make a suitable entrance back into society as a duchess. He's all about appearances. Yes, and the dress is in tatters. Motherfuckers. Who did it? Who ruined her dress? And so they question literally everybody in this household.
Edwin feels like this is the curse of his father and of Bruxton Hall. And after questioning everyone and realizing that everyone kind of has an alibi and it couldn't have been any of his staff, Edwin comes up with a plan. Do we know this plan immediately? No.
No.
I mean, you kind of get hints of what it could be and what it probably is, but we're not supposed to know. So there you go. He gets Mrs. Hyslop on the case, and they set out, and they get one of his mother's old gowns from someplace. And
probably
it is
storage.
This, right. And it is this gown that she wore like one time to like entertain the king or some crazy thing like that.
Something like that. Something
so
important.
And he gifts this beautiful dress to her and tells her to go alter it because he knows it's not in the fashion of current day dresses. And she runs right out to get it fitted for her and kind of fixed up a little bit. And she's very careful to keep the integrity of the dress. And she comes down the stairs after getting all dolled up and ready. And he's just, you look equipped for a ball. Peggy smacks him upside the back of the head. Beautiful, you great oaf. Surely you have that word in your vocabulary somewhere.
This man doesn't know how to compliment her, because at the same time, like earlier, because she's doing her whole making her own perfume thing, and he goes, it's a little overwhelming. He loves it.
For him.
He doesn't want other people to smell it because...
Well, no, it was too much
know,
for him because
but...
he couldn't resist her.
Right. But he was also saying it so she would... He doesn't want to share, even though he doesn't want to say that. Good man.
So she was kind of up all night getting this dress ready and everything. So she falls asleep on the way in the carriage. And apparently she talks in her sleep because... She was all worried about drooling or snoring, and she's asking about her snoring because her sister said she snored once, and she's all worried about it. And he goes, no, but you talked in your sleep a little. I believe it was, husband, you should not wander the gardens in naught but your trousers. The maids will faint. And he can't help but be amused by this whole thing. So he smiles, and she's so excited. You smiled. I saw it. You smiled. I've longed for this moment. And she fucking yanks him against her for a kiss. She's never kissed anyone. She has no the fuck clue how to do it. She just fucking smacks his face against hers. And thank goodness he goes with it because he shows her how to do it. It's kind of funny. Ugh. That kiss just keeps the fuck rolling because it gets hot and heavy and you think it's going to go downtown. It doesn't, because there's Peggy once again. At the door. The carriage is halted.
Yeah,
Peggy needs to read a room.
I don't think she knows how to read a room. Now the carriages all stop.
Yeah, Peggy wants to stop and rest. And that puts the fucking wet blanket on everything because he realizes what he just accidentally almost did. Mm-hmm. And now he went from hot, now he's super cold. So they arrive finally.
I get it.
At,
I'm just annoyed.
I know. They arrive finally at the ball. And the other guests are very surprised that they actually came because, like we have said previously, this man is a recluse. And Joanna, for the first time in her life, is feeling very unwelcome at a ball.
And everyone's making all the whispers and like,
they're whispering all around her, you know.
About him. Like they're being so mean.
That is the danger of a handsome face, ladies. Don't be fooled. You only need to look at that gown to see that they are well matched. And on and on and on and on. Peggy makes a beeline straight for the punch and apparently consumes like half the bowl of punch or something because
this
she's
punch
like
has a lot of
instantaneously
brandy in it, guys.
On. Yeah, she's
hammered.
hammered. And she just she starts so sharing fun. Everything about everything. And she's just chatting with Joanna and Joanna's mother because her family's there. So she's super excited to see her family. Mm-hmm. And she's chatting with Joanna and Joanna's mother. And she's telling all about how her sister died, like for real, and how Edwin's father locked her sister in a room because he went to go out and whore himself. And so she literally was alone trying to give birth in a locked room and no one could get to her in time. And that's how she died. And when he finally got to her, he refused to call a doctor for her. It was a
whole
thing.
So that's the reason how she died giving birth is because this motherfucker locked her in a room.
Yeah.
Like, and oh my God.
Joanna's mother is just like now more worried about her daughter because like, look at what that child has been brought up into mm-hmm. and blah blah blah.
But Joanna is so sweet because doesn't she defends, like defend, I was gonna say,
and says he is everything I did not know I wanted, and he does not deserve the scorn of society. If you knew, if everyone only knew the truth, they would welcome him with open arms. And she turns to Peggy and she says, and you should have told him what happened to his mother, for I suspect he spent his entire life thinking he was responsible for her death. It would not kill him, it should free him from those shackles. Then she sees out of the corner of her eye, Edwin heard everything, but it almost frees a weight off him a little bit because he's not at fault, his father's at fault, and they end up dancing the evening away, and they end up having a late stroll in the gardens where they kind of tuck off into a corner and she's all like, kiss me, and
he's
instead
so
he ends
funny.
Up carrying her to this boathouse.
Over his it's so funny. She's like, I have two perfectly good legs.
And then he decides to exhaust her so she won't want the full thing because he can't stop himself from wanting her or giving in to her. But if he just kind of gives her a piece, then maybe she'll just think that's sufficient for now. So he fucking eats her out and gives her an orgasm. Remember, this woman is like completely innocent of all the things. She just had her first kiss with this man on her way to this ball. And yeah, it exhausts her. She falls asleep and she wakes up in the carriage on the way home. And apparently she was like, he kind of roused her enough to say goodbye to her family. And
oh
she
my
was
God.
Like sleep talking to
so
them.
So fucking funny. This whole section too, like I love Joanna awake, but like half asleep Joanna is a fucking trip and a half. Like the shit she just said to everybody was so funny. She is horrified at the things that she has said when he tells her. I laughed. Oh man.
She's like, oh, I could throttle Sleepy Joe. And he's like, is that her name? Sleepy Joe?
Because he wanted to have like a
She's
name
like,
for it.
She's plagued me my entire life. And he's like, I should like to see more of her. And then she's got to share a bedchamber with your wife then. He's like, I had been considering that. Oh, there's a chamber that adjoins yours. The door has been painted shut many years ago, but I thought I might remove the paint and move into that room, if it's not too much inconvenience. I know a lady's chamber can be a sanctuary of sorts.
She was hoping that he would share
move
a room
the
with
fuck
her.
In. Yeah.
But you know what? Little baby steps, guys.
She will take the baby steps.
Well, yeah.
And then they get to the house and Peggy's carriage is at the house. She's like, is that Peggy and Jade? I thought
they were supposed
heading
to go
home after the ball. I watched my own staff pack their belongings onto a cart. Well, joke's on you because Peggy's kind of hard to get rid of.
She's like the plague.
But Joanna smooths it over. She's like, it must be fate, dear Edwin. I was just thinking about the improvements I wish to make to, like, some rooms, and Peggy's advice had been invaluable. Another week or two will be just fine. It's just so funny.
Oh,
and so they just had this long, exhausting night, and so they all go to kind of take a nap, but she's all, oh, I don't feel good. If only I had company in case the sickness overwhelms me. And he's like,
of course, Miss O'Hara.
I can't say no. He's too tired to fight himself and her. And so he's like, I'll just sleep next to her while she sleeps. It's okay. And They're going to rest. It's okay. Except that
it's not okay.
She calls him the fuck out for why he's been so wishy-washy with her and why he doesn't want to have physical relations with her. She's like, you don't want a physical relationship with me because you don't want children. You don't want to continue his bloodline. You want revenge on him.
It's so funny because she was right. Yeah, she was not being stupid.
No. She convinces him that it would actually be a greater revenge to his father if he was happy and his family was happy and so on. So they end up consummating their marriage. Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bang.
Bada bang. Peggy tries to interrupt them, but Mrs. Hyslop to the rescue, like barring the door.
I love her so much.
So funny. So then a week goes by. Joanna has been sick in bed since a day after their return. He's been taking care of her, and he's been trying to take care of her horse because she's not able to. And he's startled in the barn by Jane, who went out to give the horses treats too. And it's really weird. Jane just keeps popping up everywhere, and she be sketch. That's all I'm going to say. She be sketch. And Joanna's fever finally breaks, and semi-delirious, she goes to try to get some food and water. And as she's wandering the halls, she can hear Jane's laughter in the library. And so she peeks in, and as she does, she sees Jane in Edwin's lap, kissing.
Fuck this bitch.
So then we get Edwin's point of view, where the beast was sleeping in the library. And he's like, what the fuck? This bitch climbed into his lap while he was sleeping and kissed him. Like, what the fuck are you doing? He literally threw her off him. And she's just like, don't be coy. I know you desire me. I've seen you observing me. You've been so attentive and charming the last few days while your wife has been sick. You've invited me to seduce you. No, bitch. I have never invited anything. Whenever I've tried to find peace, you've intruded. Whenever I've desired to seek solitude, you have buzzed around me like a wasp at a picnic. Why are you in the library? You should not be in here. No one gave you permission. I do not need permission. And I've seen gentlemen pretend to be asleep before. You wanted me to kiss you. And he's like, I would rather follow my brother into the river. I was like, wow.
That was a lot.
That was dark.
It was dark. Oh my God.
And he's like, I love my wife. Like, what is wrong with you? And
I love that.
Like,
I love my wife.
Ever since the incident with seeing her in the barn, she's been relentless. Like, pretending to faint around him so that he'll have to catch her. Pretending to drown herself in the river so he would have to help her.
Literally almost did drown.
Yeah, like so many things where like she was like playing this game and he's just like, dude, I only have love for my wife. And my goodness, we're related.
Bomb drop.
And he's like, she's like, there's no shame in it. There's every shame in it. When you seek to corrupt the marriage of a happily married man, and when you seek to kiss a man who is sleeping, it is vile, Miss Russell. Utterly vile. And she's just
he's like, we're related. Shocked I was like, oh this. Shit. That's not great.
She's shocked by this. He's like, you will gather your belongings and leave as soon as it is light out. I can agree to keep this unpleasantness from my aunt for the sake of the meager dignity you have left, so it will not upset my aunt, but that is the only generosity you will receive from me. If you do not leave, I will inform her of everything. She's like, you should not encourage people. I do not encourage you. I will not repeat myself. Leave. And she not happy. He decides to have the hottest bath imaginable. This woman off of him.
He needs to get this fucking shit out of his mind.
And then he goes to check on Joanna in her bedchambers and she's sleeping. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to wake her with this now. I'll just tell you in the morning. Good night, my love. Rest well. Joanna was not sleeping. Joanna was pretending to sleep because she spent that whole time that he was in the bath and arguing with Jane packing. And when she heard him coming, she quickly went under the blankets and pretended to be asleep. And then she's like, tell me in the morning. Good night, my love. Excuse me. And she's like, fucking this shit. Peace the fuck out. And decides to take off on Pegasus to her family's house. Don't forget, she's been sick in bed for a week and she's still not feeling the greatest. So Mrs. Hyslop wakes Edwin the next morning. Edwin is finally getting this sickness. He now has a fever. And Mrs. Hyslop's going on and on about she's gone. Yeah, I know. I'm the one who sent her away. And Mrs. Hyslop is getting pissed.
She's like, excuse me?
Yeah. Then he tells her the whole story about Jane and explains the whole thing. And then Mrs. Hyslop is horrified. I wasn't talking about Jane. Your wife is gone. And now I know why. Because Chip, the stable boy, saw her leave. So alerted the whole staff. That's not his name, but that is the name now.
I was like, excuse me? Chip?
Yeah, little boy. We're on theme here.
Okay.
And so he immediately, obviously, takes off for her family's house. And he tells Mrs. Hyslop to get the carriage and come after him because he might need backup. He's worried.
He's worried that she's not going to believe him.
Believe him, right.
Once
after
he says
her
it.
Past with his,
I mean,
her family and all that.
That,
right.
And to be fair, it's kind of a right. Wild fucking story.
So Joanna makes it to her family's house. And obviously her mother and her sister are sympathetic. But her father is determined to send her back. And Joanna chews him the fuck out. Like, nah, bitch. No. And if you learned how to take care of your wife any better, maybe this wouldn't be like this.
She's not wrong.
Like, look at the example you're setting for today's young men. All this stuff. And then Jane busts through the door. Which, honestly, I thought it was going to be Edwin. But to be fair, it is only a little bit after she got there, and Edwin wouldn't have had time to ride there.
Yeah.
So Edwin finally does arrive to the house, and he sees Jane leaving in a carriage. And he's like, what the fuck? And especially because Jane has this smarmy fucking grin on her face. Ugh, this bitch. And he gets to the door. Joanna is not receiving visitors. And I will wait right here until she does.
Oh my God. So funny.
And then finally, Mrs. Hyslop and Aunt Peggy, who he didn't know was going to arrive, but she comes with Mrs. Hyslop. And Mrs. Hyslop told Peggy everything.
Which, good for her, because originally Edwin was saying like he wouldn't tell Peggy or anybody anything that had happened as long as she just left. So right. The fact that Mrs. Hyslop told her,
it's like,
so great. He technically kept his word.
And Peggy walks up to the door. And is like, bitch, let me in. She demands an entrance. And so they get let in.
He's also fucking struggle bussing, man.
As
man.
They get let in, he finally succumbs and collapses. And so then we get the other side of things. And we get what happened when Jane arrived. And we get Jane's confession. Apparently, Jane was aware of her presence in the library the whole time. Apparently, Jane has been in love with Edwin since she was a girl, and Peggy never allowed Jane to fantasize about him and always kept her at a distance. But
I wonder
now,
why.
She was too distracted by Joanna to notice her pursuit of him. And she's like super smarmy and all this. She's like, I've never met a man that I couldn't turn and all this stuff. Like, she is vile.
So it's definitely hinted that she has done this plenty of times before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Has literally no qualms about being
no. It's like
whore.
She takes married men for sport.
Yeah.
The only reason that she chased after Joanna to tell her all this, because she saw Joanna leaving, was she wanted Joanna to turn around and head home before anyone noticed her missing, because she didn't want Peggy and all them to find out and have her be in trouble with all that.
Yeah.
Like she wanted to save her face for herself.
Probably should have thought of that before you decided to go after married men, but that's just me.
She's like, so be a precious lamb and return to Bruxton Hall before anyone realizes you're missing. Just if they have, just say you wish to go for a ride and got lost in the hills.
Joanna's a better person than I would be because I...
Right.
Hunch a
so
hoe.
She realizes that Edwin was innocent in all this, so that when Edwin arrives, she panics because she was sick in bed for a week and then left and rode to her family's house in a panic. She is a mess. She is like muddy and smelly and dirty, and she is just a hot mess. She's like, I can't let him see me like this. She tells the people at the door to stall him for an hour so that she Aww. Can bathe and get ready for him.
So, it's so cute, but
girl. It's funny, but when she realizes that he's sick and she made him wait out there, now she feels horrible and feels like it's just silly. Oh, man.
It is a little silly. So, fucking love it.
So, 1 week later, Edwin wakes up from his fever.
Poor and man. out.
Apparently this took them all out because it all took them for a week.
I mean,
they tell each other what they missed and all the stuff, and then they tell each other that they love each other, so and cute. Apparently Edwin feels better because then they start to banging.
Yeah, they start to banging.
And that's the end of our book. We have an epilogue that is 3 months later. The Eastern Wing has been restored. The gardens are blooming. They dug a pond. They found out that Jane eloped with some rake and she had stolen from Peggy to try to furnish her takeoff. And that Joanna is now with child. But and that apparently Peggy was about to leave, but upon learning that Joanna was with child, now she's staying for the pregnancy and to, you know, help care for the child with the child being born.
Fucking woman.
They're so, never getting rid of Peggy.
I love Peggy, though. Peggy's and so
great. And then
for
those who chose, there is also an extended epilogue, which is 4 years later, where we see that they have two boys and they are preparing for their first ball at their home that they have now fully restored, Bruxton Hall. So yeah, that was The Cruel Duke.
I loved this book.
It was enjoyable.
I had such a fucking great time reading this book.
It was enjoyable.
Time. It was a ride. It was a ride.
It was enjoyable.
So who was your favorite character?
Edwin.
I have a hard time picking. Because I liked a lot.
Or Mrs. Hyslop.
Dude, first of all, I think she is my top notch. She is the best. She's so funny. The fact that she basically was like to the door.
Barred the door.
Barred the door with her body. And she just, I like her little comments to him because she's like, I have raised you. I have been around you since you were up to my knee, so don't think that I'm gonna take this shit. Like, I will say what I want. Like, she respects him, but she's also like, bitch, I have raised you since a child. Like, get your shit together. I loved her a lot. I loved Joanna. She was a sassy motherfucker and I loved her. And I liked Edwin a lot too. Peggy, I'm so glad that she like did whatever she did. She's just a wild one. I liked a lot of the characters in this, which while I was reading, I was like, damn it, I don't think I'm going to be able to even like pick one. Like, I like a good amount of them, which was good.
Well, who spoke to you the most, Mrs. Hyslop, if you had to choose?
Yeah, I guess so. I can pick however many I want. Get out of here.
Who is your least favorite?
Oh, where to pick? Also hard choice. You know what? Joanna's dad. Ooh, no. Edwin's dad. Ooh, the dads.
I really didn't like how they tried to make him so redeemable.
Who, her dad?
Yeah. And it kept going, even into the extended epilogue. Like, it kept going, like, now he's an upstanding citizen, and he never cheats on the mother, and he's so, like, involved
because,
in the kids.
Because I know towards the end, like, Joanna made him promise.
Who the fuck makes a complete turnaround like that?
Nobody. Because, yeah, because at the end, like, she had made him promise.
It's a complete 180.
To stop, and if he was ever going to go to wherever again, like the mom would go with him, and it was only if she would talk to her husband. And yeah, I didn't, he just sucked. Both of the dads were terrible fucking people, especially Edwin's dad. Jesus Christ. Who was yours?
Yeah, Edwin's dad really sucked. I think the dads in general really sucked. Jane was just such a vile fucking human.
I know. Yeah. Jane was terrible. Ugh. So, okay.
Ratings.
So, Amazon gives us a 4.2 and Goodreads gives us a 4.1.
What did you rate it?
A 4.
I also gave it a 4.
I really enjoyed this book. Like, there was a lot of it was actually, it's so funny because like reading the description to reading the actual book was very different. It was a wild experience, but I loved it. It was funny. It was good. I liked it a lot. Ooh, the next book is Nancy.
Makes sense.
Nancy, and then...
What about your cucumber reading? Please tell me Jane doesn't get a book.
No. Whoever Marina is the third book.
She must come in Nancy's book or something.
Yeah. The cover of Nancy's book is really pretty. Anyways, sorry. It's called The Traumatized Duke, so that's fun. Let me think. Do you have one? I'm trying to think of what I...
Oh, I gave this 3.
Yeah, I was going to go like a 4 or 3. 5.
Obviously, as a Regency, we have less scenes. We got 2 scenes and then the 1 half scene in the boathouse. So, I mean... They weren't bad. It's just, it is what it is.
I mean, it was more open door than some of the other books I've read. So.
Yes. Mud is an open door.
Oh my! It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed this book. Like, I want to read the next one. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll read Nancy's book. I liked it.
Nice.
Yay. Look at that. You good over there?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I was just thinking how we were going to do this Pepper Winners thing.
So we just got an arc. And so next week, instead of doing a wheel, we're bringing you something fun. Congratulations, you're a winner.
We got an email while recording this episode.
So we're just going to shift a little bit.
We have been waiting for this email since last summer. I am taking Crystal very outside of her box and convinced her to sign up for an arc with me. And we agreed that we would do it for the podcast. And it's going to be a multi-arc episode arc. Ha! It's going to be a multi-arc episode arc because it is a series. And a long time ago, like over a decade ago, I fell in love with Pepper Winters' Monsters in the Dark series. And since then, I have read almost everything that she has come out with. And last summer, Crystal and I did our very first arc together when we did the Luna duet. And since her soul is slowly turning black, she's agreed to do this arc with me because Pepper announced that she is doing a spinoff to that Monsters in the Dark series, and Q's brother is getting his own series, and I'm so excited, and I hope you're excited too. Come along this journey with us, because next week we're bringing you Ruby Tears, and it's on the wheel. I'm sorry, but we are. Just buckle up, cowboy.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get an email while you're recording. We just had to take a little hard turn. So instead, we're just going to shift it a little bit. So instead of spinning the wheel, we will spin it after we do our arc. And we will continue as business as usual. But for now, we're going to take a little journey and destroy me even more.
What else is new other than us taking a little journey occasionally?
Listen. This is our podcast. We can do what we want.
As long as we keep reading and you keep reading.
And keep it smutty.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.